We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 20th day of August 2023, Sunday night. And I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have, the title of my message is A Tale of Several Cities. A Tale of Several Cities. And have you ever wondered people today where they call themselves the Progressive Party? And you see this so-called progressive. Well, it's not progressive at all, folks. I can tell you it's aggressive. But these aren't new concepts at all, not at all. It's the same old wiles and schemes of the devil from ancient times. And we're going to take a look at this tonight as we take a look at, well, one of the first 15-minute cities. And we look into the original start of the New World Order. And we start tonight in Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, it's interesting because that word language there in the Hebrew means lip. It's one lip of one lip. And that word speech there means set of words. So, of one lip and one set of words. Now, Noah and Shem were the ones that recorded this, and it's very, very likely that the language there was Hebrew, because that was the language that was spoken as they and they understood it. That was recorded, and obviously it was God that changes the languages into Babel, but through Shem and Ham and Japheth. But through these three, over 70 nations were started. And now, even though they recorded this, they were really not a part of this. In fact, I want to just read very quickly over here, Genesis 9, verses 18 and 19. And the sons of Noah that went forth out of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And so out of them came all of the population of the earth, all the nations of the earth today. And so here, even though they recorded this, they were not a part of the rebellion of Babel. Verse 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick and stone, and slime had they for mortar. Well, they actually started companies. They started to produce a brick manufacturing company there in this city. And this is where they were going to start the city here. And they decided, as they said, and they said, go and let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, what are they saying here? They're saying, look, forget what God has demanded we do. God says to go to spread out, to fill the earth, and to be fruitful and multiply upon the whole earth. And they're saying, no, what we want to do is this. We want to stay here. We want to build this city here. And we want to start a new world order, one that is not in compliance with God, for we ourselves will build that tower into heaven, and we will be like God. And Nimrod wanted to establish a one-world government. Does this sound familiar, folks? Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like Joe Biden? Does it sound like Klaus Schwab? This whole Bill Gates, this whole one world order, new world order. Well, here, and by the way, this was the first 15-minute city. Everything that they needed, supposedly, they were going to have within this city. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now, whenever it's the word Lord there, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself came down. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad, and from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now, here you say, well, what would be the purpose? What would be the purpose of confounding their language? Well, the idea, when you don't understand the language of a person, I remember when my days in the military, I would be involved especially with foreign troops, and we'd be maybe assembled, and there would be, as we went through some special training, there might be a number of Turkish soldiers standing there speaking in a language that I didn't understand. And now and then, if they would glance over, one of them would glance over and look at you, maybe with a smirk. You kind of got the idea that they were talking about you. And so automatically, it would cause distrust. So what happens if you're around those that you don't trust? You don't want to be around them. And that was the whole idea, to scatter them. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound. Their language in all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon all the face of the earth. Well, 16 centuries later, after Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to rebuild the base of the ancient tower. Once the language was confused, they could no longer trust each other, of course, and they left. But 16 centuries later, and the Lord kind of put a stop to that. And then, not that many years ago, and there, in Iraq, well, the idea was to rebuild the Tower in the city, in the Tower of Babel again. And so here, as we look at this, we see that this whole thing called progressive and this whole thing about the Agenda 2030, or here in Ohio, it's referred to as NOAACA here in Ohio. When you hear that word NOAACA, that's what that is. It's the pagan Agenda 2030. And so there's nothing really new. This goes back 6,000 years ago, folks. And then I want to take a look at one of what you hear about sanctuary cities. And how many times have you heard people say, well, now, you know, sanctuary cities are spoken about in the Bible. In the Bible, God gave us sanctuary cities. And then they were confusing cities of refuge and sanctuary cities. And they confused the two when they're completely different. They're completely different. And so, but we're going to take a look at now at which was a sanctuary city, but it just wasn't called a sanctuary city. And compare it to what we have today. Today we have sanctuary cities where criminals can go and find protection if they wanted to go and commit their crimes. And like Chicago. Chicago's, you know, would be a great place if you're a criminal. Chicago is a wonderful place for you. They've got such corrupt judicial, such a corrupt judicial in Chicago, that you can commit crimes. You know, it seems like it's almost like a sporting operation going on to shoot little children in Chicago. Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati, especially Washington, D.C., and maybe one of the worst where it comes to sexual crimes is San Francisco, New Orleans. These are all sanctuary cities, folks, and they're just filled. First of all, they're all run by Democrats. They're all run by Democrats, and they're just filled with every kind of crime. And they're, many of them are rat-infested, but they're filled with every kind of crime. Drug dealers, if you're a drug dealer, a human trafficker, you're a pedophile, into child porn, anything, any disgusting crime, you'll find it in these cities. They're all run by Democrats. And like I said, a lot of them are rat-infested. It's where death and destruction go to dwell. And so we read in Genesis, starting in Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. Now, this here is the very first reference in the Bible to teaching children the Word of God. And he goes on to say, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, which the Lord may bring upon him, upon Abraham, that which he hath spoken of him. Well, now, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is so very grievous. Now, folks, here, that word there means extremely offensive to God. Extremely. So what are they talking about? They're talking about what NBC, ABC, what Spectrum One News, what Hollywood, what Joe Biden, what the entire Democratic Party, or all of those on the left, tried to shove down the throats of us, especially our children. And that's the sin of sodomy. The wicked, wicked sin of sodomy is so prevalent today in America. Listen, Sodom and Gomorrah had nothing on San Francisco. Just unbelievable. Or New Orleans. And many of the places, cities in the world are just filled with the filth of sodomy. Why, not only is it promoted in the public school system, LGBTQ, but it's promoted, not only is it not promoted as what God's Word, the Bible teaches us, of extremely offensive sin, a transgression of God's Word, a sin against the people, but they promote it as a preferable lifestyle, the way it's being promoted and shoved upon people. And so now, here, God is going to deal with that. And I can tell you this, he's going to deal with it here in America again. It's coming. It'll happen. And I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, Abraham, I got to tell you here, boy, he's sticking his neck out. He is really sticking his neck out here. And he's asking God, are you going to do something that is not just? Are you going to do, will you, God, destroy the unjust? Or destroy the just with the unjust? It's not something you want to ask God. When it comes to justice, there's no one, and mercy, no one greater than God. And he goes on to say, Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city that would destroy. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are there? And now look, I asked today when I was preaching this, and I pointed out to one of the ladies, I said, okay, I'm going to assign you the task. I want you to go to the United States Congress and see if you can find 50 righteous people. And the whole place burst out laughing. They all burst to find 50 righteous. That wouldn't have happened. If you go to the, you would be doing good in the U.S. Senate to find five. You'd be doing good to find five in the U.S. Senate, folks. That's just a reality. And everybody laughed. Everybody laughed. And then as he gets down, as Abraham says, But be thou far from thee to do that, to after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now they go to, he wants to dicker with the Lord. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, with which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of five? And he said, If I find there 40 and five, I will not destroy it. Now look, think about this. If you went to all of the mainstream media in this country, do you really think if you went to all of the mainstream media, you could find in the mainstream media 45 righteous people? I don't think so. Then he goes on, and he spake unto him yet again, and said, Peradventure there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Now, can you imagine this? Try going to Hollywood. Try finding 40 righteous people in all of Hollywood. I think it'd be a chore. And then he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. Abraham's starting to figure out, hey, you know what? The Lord knows something here I don't. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Folks, just think of all of that, what we just said today. Just imagine that. You got over 400 congressmen. I think it's about 450. And you're not going to find 50 righteous people in that at all. At all. And like I said, you would be doing good to find more than five in the Senate. And in all of the so-called mainstream media, NBC, ABC, CNN, PMS, NBC, all of them, CBS, in all of them, there's thousands altogether. I know you could not find 50 righteous people. I know you couldn't in all of that. And so here he goes on, chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with a face toward the ground. Now, most of his historians believe Lot was the mayor, that he was the mayor of Sodom. Now, remember what had happened here. Lot was set upon by hostile troops, I believe the Canaanites. And anyhow, when his people, when him and Abraham had split up, Abraham went one way, Lot went to the other. And here, Abraham and his people came, and he saved Lot and his people. And so Lot and his people dwelt right there. And so those were all his people, a lot of them there in Sodom. And it didn't take them long, once they were in Sodom, to become like the Sodomites. And so now here, since Lot came in with all of these people, he was like the mayor. He's the one that's setting the gate. Now, that doesn't mean, folks, that you go down before the gates of a city and you just sit in front of the gates. No, that meant he had an office there. That meant that they did the government business there and other business right there, and he was like the mayor. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Well, apparently, being who he was, he would have a place for when, because the custom of that day, when travelers came, hospitality, if you did not show hospitality, you were not respected at all. You were highly disrespected in that day if you did not offer hospitality to strangers that came, because you never knew, as Lot didn't know, when you might be entertaining angels unawares. And so here, these two angels said, No, that's okay. We're not going to put you out. We'll just stay here. We'll just spend a night right here in the street. Now, Lot didn't want that at all, okay? He knew what would likely happen to them if he let them stay there in the street. So he begged them to come in. Now, the angels weren't worried at all about spending the night in the streets. They knew exactly how to handle these sodomites, these Democrats of that day. They were the Democrats of that day. And, you know, as we see now, here, the five cities of the plain, they had gone, especially Sodom and Gomorrah, they had, God now had reached his limit with them. He had reached his limit, and his cup of indignation was overflowing at this time. So it was time for Sodom and Gomorrah to go by in all the five cities of the plains. And so he goes on and he says, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in to him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men, now listen to this. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around them, both old and young, all of the people from every quarter. So all of the people there in Sodom came, and they compassed around about the house. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us so that we may know them. Well, what they meant, they weren't there talking to say so that we could meet and greet and get to know. No, they wanted to sodomize them. They wanted to sodomize them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and said, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you can do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of the roof. Now, there's a lot of different opinions, and a lot of people think, well, gee, being that these were sodomites, they weren't very really interested in the daughters and probably wouldn't do much to them. And not only that, but they also knew that these daughters had husbands, and the husbands would probably say, because, you know, would probably stand up or defend these girls. And the idea, too, was that the custom was that it would be to dishonor. You know, women were not held in the same esteem as men in those days. And you had a situation where the natural use of the woman would be not so hard on a woman to be raped physically as it would be to be raped for these men to be raped, because it was not a natural use. And so there was a number of reasons that people think that Lot was willing to do this. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now, will we deal worse with him, with thee there, than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near and to break into the door. Well, they're saying now, look, tell you what, you keep standing in our way, we're going to do to you what we were planning on doing to them. And the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. Now, it's very interesting here. In several places in Scripture, here in Daniel 7 and 8, and Revelation chapters 1 through 3, we see that angels are often referred to as men, and men are referred to as angels. And here in this case, but the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. These were the angels. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. This was LGBTQ that day. This was the LG, and they were so completely reprobate. They were so reprobate that even when they were smote with blindness, they still wanted to commit such offensive acts that they groped the doors. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, Get up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons and son-in-laws. In other words, this is saying, they thought he was joking with them. The Lord is going to destroy this city? I don't think so. Well, you know, remember what Noah tried to tell the people, right? And so today, you see people like Klaus Schwab, stooge to Harari, people like Bill Gates, like George Soros, Klaus Schwab, how they mock God and how they they make a mockery. And then Harari said, if you people think that there is a Jesus that lives above the clouds and he's going to come back and save you, there is no God. The only God is man himself. And remember what Nietzsche had said, who proclaimed himself to be such a genius, and yet he died in an insane asylum. Nietzsche had once said that since God had made man in his image, now through technology, and believe me, that technology was really ancient technology. Nietzsche said, now through technology, man will return the favor, and God will be what man says he is. And this is the mindset of the fools of today. This is the mindset of the fools of today. And Lot went out, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hands of his wife, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou shalt be consumed. And so, here now, he's physically had to take him out of there, out of this the sin city. And here, now remember, because you're going to ask yourself a question. Why did Lot's wife look back? When we get there, we'll maybe talk about that. And now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. In other words, now Lot is saying, look, angels, boy, I thank you so much. You saved my life. But there, you know, in those mountains, there's lions and tigers and bears and things in those mountains. And there's outlaws and marauders in there. And, boy, it's going to be tough for me to be up there with my family, just, you know, being the only man and so on. And so he goes on to say, now, behold now, this city is near to flee into, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not just a little one? He's talking about Zoar. and my soul may shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted this thee concerning this thing also, which I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou comest thither. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Now, he didn't get along very well with the people there. They were like the people in Sodom. And probably by this time, they may have even heard what had taken place there. And so he goes on. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and overthrew those cities and of all the plain which the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, do you think maybe God was going to use a means to destroy that city that he really didn't want Lot to see or Lot's family to see the way in which he was going to do that, okay? Maybe it was something that would be so horrifying. It would be something like when during World War II, when we dropped those two nuclear bombs on Japan, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Do you think, well, it was not really something at that time that our government wanted the world to see. They wanted the world to know about it. Okay, they wanted to make sure our enemies understood so that they would surrender. But here, it's just quite possible that God had not intended them to see this. Well, here, Mrs. Lot, remember, she would have been the mayor's wife, probably the first lady of the city. She didn't want to give up that, you know, in the city in those days, she probably had a number of servants and probably had it pretty easy. And now she's thinking, I'm going to be up in those mountains and it's going to be tough. We're leaving here with nothing. And she looks back. She should have listened to God. Very poor discernment. And so she was turned. She became a pillar of salt. And to this very day, right in that area where they claim this has happened, there is a pillar of salt that this very day stands about 3 feet high, and it's a pillar of salt. And people to this very day claim that that's Lot's wife. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of the furnace. And it came to pass that when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now, that would be the first sanctuary city, is where they gave sanctuary to Sodomy, with Sodomites, like they do here today. And again, of course, we got, if it's a sin, if it's a drug dealer, especially in Chicago, it's just about, crime is legal in Chicago. Crime is legal in Chicago. And, you know, they don't prosecute people for committing crimes, very little there in Chicago. But other cities like Washington, D.C., high, high murder rate, high crime rate. Los Angeles, you've got thieves, murderers. And again, the worst kind of people, today they call progressive or Democrats, they're attracted to the cities where you have drug dealing, you have abortion, you have pedophilia, you have sodomy, you have bestiality. And often these cities today are rat-infested. The worst things are drawn, the worst unclean things are drawn into the cities today. San Francisco is so bad. lot of people didn't know that, you know, in San Francisco, there was no ordinance. You could walk around stark naked out there, stark naked in San Francisco if you wanted to. I was watching. We had a fellow who travels across the world, and he films and he does these documentaries on bizarre things. He did one on the sodomite parade in San Francisco, where Nancy Pelosi stood there right next to two sodomites, stark naked. They were stark naked. And she stood right next to them as they were sodomizing each other. And that wicked old woman, that nasty, wicked old woman, was telling them that Jesus would be very pleased with the way that they're showing love for each other, folks. That there is a very, very reprobate mind of an individual. Now, I want to go now over to Numbers chapter 35, because they keep telling us that, yeah, sanctuary cities in the Bible. Well, it's nuts. Cities of refuge and sanctuary cities are completely different. Now, there were 48 cities, of which six were cities of refuge. And here, a city of refuge, if you accidentally killed somebody, if it was an accident, or you caused somebody a lot of damage, if it was an accident, you didn't mean to, then you could find, in a sanctuary city, you could find sanctuary from the Avengers of Blood. If you went before a council and you told them your story, and you had two witnesses. And so here we read in Numbers 35, starting with verse 9, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, when you come over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge. For you and the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares," okay, accidentally, when he kills anyone accidentally, "and they shall be able unto you, and they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger and the manslayer. Die not until they stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which you shall give, six cities shall you have for refuge, and you shall have three cities on this side of the Jordan, the three cities you shall give on the land of Canaan, which shall be the cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither." Okay. And if you smite them with an instrument of iron, so that they die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. If he smite them by throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood wherewith he die, and he die, the murderer, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Now, where did the manslayer, you see, it wasn't out there, when, you know, you didn't have police departments and sheriff's departments and all of that. So people had to bring their own justice. They had to, and unless things change, it might come back to that here in America because of the corruption in government. We've got so much corruption in government. And so now here, as we see this, "Now the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him." Now, where did he get that authority? Well, out of Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 through 7. That's where we got the statute of the death penalty. The statute of the death penalty there. And that was the third point in divine human government. When God gave us the institution of divine human government, the very third point of that 5 points was that was to preserve the image of God. He gave man dominion over the environment, but he kept dominion of man for himself. And the entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. And so now here, he goes on to say, or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die. He that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without the laying of weight, in other words, let's say somebody came up with, upon you by and surprised you, and you reacted. I know in the military, the times when they would come through, especially after a weekend, you would have the CQ coming through the barracks, and you could tap the guys on the feet. They could have a billy club and to wake them up. Now, they were given, once you were awakened like that, you were allowed, I think it was like 5 to 7 seconds, to where if you responded in a hostile way, you wouldn't be responsible for your actions. You know, you might have been having a real bad dream, and the next thing, somebody is whacking you on the feet, and you awaken to it. There's other situations where people have made mistakes and have mistaken a person for an animal and, shot an arrow into them thinking that they were an animal, okay? There's many, many ways where people can mistakenly injure somebody. One of it is you have an axe and you can swing that axe back over your head and the head could come off and hit somebody. And that could cause their death. Or sometimes you just get a couple of best buddies, two men who are best friends, and they get drinking together. And even they get wrestling and things, get out of hand. And one man accidentally will kill another. And so here, the whole point of the cities of refuge is to bring justice, to make sure that justice takes place. But with sanctuary cities, the goal is exactly the opposite, to make sure that crime is not punished and that justice does not take place. And now I want to go to a fourth city. And in that fourth city is where I'll be someday, and those of you that are saved will be there with me. And we go to Revelation chapter 21. And here we notice something. In the very first two chapters of the Bible, they describe the first heaven and the first earth. Now these last two chapters of the Bible, well, they described the new heaven and the new earth. And it goes on to say, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Well, now this is interesting here. That word new means young. It means that there will be a young. It's not the common word new that we use as neo. This is a different word, which is, in the Greek, would be chaos, which means renewed, fresh or renewed. Now here, in verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city now coming down from heaven, from God out of heaven, and prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Well, as he says here, "And the first heaven and the earth passed away." Now, There was only one thing left. When there will be only one thing left when the first heaven and earth has passed away, and that is, we find in Matthew 24, verse 35, and that is the word of God. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So all that will be left would be God's, the word of the Lord Jesus himself. Now here in verse 2, we read this, and I, John, saw the holy city. Now this is the only second time in the entire book, as he said in the beginning. Now here towards the end, where he identifies himself by name, and I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Now, why would they say that? Well, here as it comes down to be pure white, and although the city will be also made of gold, but as it comes, this city, bright and beautiful, like a bride, which, you know, brides normally wear a nice white dress. And it used to be that the purpose of the white dress was to show that the bride was a virgin. And supposedly, if she wasn't, she wasn't supposed to wear a white dress, but from what I understand, most of them did it anyhow. And he goes on, and he says this, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Well, boy, you know, this is really something, because, you know, in Isaiah 65, in the book of Isaiah and 65, and starting, I believe it is, with verse 17, we read this, and folks, I'll get there in a minute. I'm slow tonight here, okay. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing in her people, a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her. Now the voice of crying, and there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled the days, for the child shall die as 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat of the fruit of them. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the days of the trees are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offerings and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be in the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all the holy mountain, saith the Lord. Well, here going back to Revelation 21, and we read this. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and idolaters. You know, folks, this is the Democratic Party platform. It really is, I'm telling you. And then, and sorcerers, that's Big Pharma. That's Pfizer. Okay, that's Johnson & Johnson. And all liars, well, there you go. That's the mainstream media. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels with head to seven vials and the seven last plagues. And he talked to me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in his spirit into a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light like was like the stone, the most precious, and even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and the 12 gates of the gates, 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And I just want to go and finish here in verse 22. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side the river, was there the tree of life that bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there should be no more curse, meaning no more death, folks, no more sickness, no more cancer. No more deformities. There'll be no liberals, no woke, no Democrats. It's not going to be any drug dealers there. There won't be any sodomites there, folks. We won't have any of that, but no pain. And it goes on. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now that's, you've got God's word on this if you're saved. So folks, let me tell you this. There's two kinds of people. God recognizes those that are saved and those that are lost. Those that are saved and those that are lost. You're going to die. That's not maybe. You will. That's an absolute. And when you die, the Bible says it's given to men, each man wants to die, and then the judgment. And you're going to end up in heaven or hell. That's a gimme. You're going to end up in heaven or hell. You no, it doesn't matter what you believe. Folks, I would choose heaven. How do you do that? Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3, read it and do it. Folks, if you end up in that burning lake of fire, in that torment, it's because, well, you didn't learn not to burn. We're out of time for tonight. So, as we say at this time, every night, we always say good night. We always say, God bless you. And we always say, always, always, always. And I do mean always. Keep fighting. I said, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries. When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged.
By my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted.
Based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended.
By my coworkers.
And walk around the office.
On eggshells.
And have my words policed.
By HR.
Words like.
Grandfather.
Peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.